Let's take our Bibles and go to Acts chapter 3 tonight. Acts chapter 3 as we continue our study through the book of Acts. So Acts chapter 3 will be in verses 1 through 11. So Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as a lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we ask that you bless our time together this evening. Father, I ask that you would just guide us through the scriptures, help us to see how it applies to our life. And Father, I pray that you would minister to our hearts tonight. I pray our thoughts would be established. I ask, Father, as always, that you would give us ears to hear, or heart to receive the truth of your word. Help us, Lord, to apply it to our life, to understand the principles and the truths that are in these verses. Father, I ask that you would, as always, Lord, glorify yourself. I pray that you'd help us to lift up Christ, for it's in his precious name we pray. Amen. When you look at Acts chapter 3, obviously this is after Acts chapter 2. It's after Peter's great sermon, after 3,000 put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And even as Acts chapter 2 tells us that of those 3,000 plus the 120 that were in the upper room, they're daily together. They're daily going to the temple. They're going from house to house and ministering to one another. They're spending time together. And really that's where we find Peter and John at the ninth hour, which is 3 o'clock in the afternoon, going up to the temple to pray. And that was their custom. That was what they were doing every day, spending time at the temple, ministering to people, obviously going up there when it was time to pray and just worshiping God with the others. And I want you to see some verses, though, in reference to the temple and praying. Go to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, because Peter and John are going to a specific place, a place that was sanctified and set apart for God's people to come and to worship him. Now, sacrifices were done in the temple, but that's not why Peter and John are going up there. They're going up there to give themselves to prayer and to minister to people that are there at the temple with the word of God. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Oh, let me get there. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 1 through 9. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God the gold for the things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and wood for the things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones and of diverse colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I've set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I've given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. I mean, just when you think about David, David had a heart to build a temple for God. He wanted a special place for God, and God told David, you're not going to build it because your hands are full of blood, because he was a man of war, but yet Solomon would be the one that would build the temple, yet David still wanted to be a part of it, and David prepared for it. And not only did he prepare for it, but of his own wealth he gave towards the temple. Keep reading in verse 4. Even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver, to overlay the walls of the houses withal, the gold for the things of gold, and the silver for the things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers, and who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord. Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel, and the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the rulers of the kings, with the king's work, offered willingly, and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents, 10,000 drams, and of silver 10,000 talents, and of brass 18,000 talents, and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced for it that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. I mean, just the fact that David had a heart to prepare a place for God's people to go and to worship. Now, obviously, the temple that Solomon built was destroyed. And then in the days of Ezra, it was rebuilt, but not as magnificent as Solomon's temple. When you get to Acts chapter 3, just the fact that the temple of the Lord was still precious in the eyes of some of the people. And as Peter and John go up to the hour of prayer, because they had a heart for prayer, they had a heart for ministering to people, yet it's that very thing that God used to bring them to the place where they would be able to help somebody in need. I want you to look at Psalm 122. Psalm 122. And then we'll look at chapter 27 and 84, but Psalm 122 and verse number 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. The psalmist writes, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Look at chapter 27, Psalm 27. There's different verses about going into the temple of God, going into the house of God. Psalm 27, verse 4. David says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. One last place, Psalm 84. Psalm 84 and verse 10. Psalm 84 and verse 10. Again, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. And, back up to verse 9, if you would. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Just the heart of God's people for the house of God. Peter and John going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, because it's something that was ingrained, I could say, in their heart, even before the ministry that they were given. This is something they were doing, again, in Acts chapter 2, with the people daily going into the temple. And this is the ninth hour, 3 o'clock. Again, just to remind us, to even let us know, that there were 3 hours of prayer, 3 times a day that the Jews would go into the temple to pray, 9 a.m., at noon and at 3 p.m. And we even remember studying Daniel. Daniel prayed 3 times a day, and it could have been at those times that he was accustomed to praying. And we're even told in Scripture, evening, morning, and at noon will I pray. And again, when you think about these men, They're at the right place at the right time. So we know, you know what's about to happen. So as we think about what's happening, I want to remind us that you never know, and I never know, when someone's going to be at the church that God's going to use us to minister to. John and Peter didn't know this man was going to be there. Maybe they did. Apparently, this man was laid at this gate every day. Notice what it says in verse number 2. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. So here's an unnamed man who's been lame from his mother's womb. He's never walked a day in his life. Every day he's been laid at the temple to ask alms because he's not able to work for himself. Obviously, he might have a little shame to it because Peter has to say, look on us, when he was asking for alms. Maybe it's not something he really wanted to do, but there was the only way to survive for him was to ask help from people. And Peter and John going up to the temple at the hour of prayer at the right time, they're at the right place, and God uses them to be able to minister to somebody and help somebody in need. And we need to remind ourselves that, again, as often as we can be at church, we should be at church because it's not just for ourselves. Peter and John, they're going to church to pray, obviously for themselves, to seek God, but also there's a man there that's going to be ministered to. He's going to receive strength in his ankle bones and in his feet. But even just the rest of the people, as it says in Acts chapter 2, daily going to the temple, daily ministering to people, talking to people about Jesus. But there's always going to be somebody at some given time that God wants us individually to meet a need, to meet a need for that person. Remember, Jesus said, how will they know that ye are my disciples? If you have love one for another, showing the love of Christ to others. But the hour of prayer, Psalm 55 verse 17 says, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Again, prayer is very important. Prayer is our weapon, a weapon of offense, a weapon of defense. You look at Ephesians, it's something God's given us, but it's something that obviously encourages us, helps us to stay close to the Lord. They were praying together daily. These two men, Peter and John, it seems like after the resurrection of Christ, these two have a very special bond. They ran together to the tomb to see the empty tomb. Remember, John kind of outran Peter. But yet, here they are. They're going up to the temple together to be able to pray. These two were prominent men in the church and among the people. And when you get to verses 2 through 6, we obviously see the power, the reason why they're there. The reason for even being a disciple of Christ is to minister to other people and to show the power of Christ in our lives. Now, when you look here in verse number 3, who's seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. So obviously he wasn't looking. So Peter, hearing the man and seeing him, looks on him with compassionate eyes because he fastens his focus upon him. It says, and Peter fastening his eyes upon him, totally looking upon him. Because you know what? When we look at people who have a need, it affects our heart. It affects our heart. In the book of Lamentations, Jeremiah writes, mine eye affecteth mine heart. So when we see somebody in need, it affects our heart. Think about me being a dad when one of my children is hurt. It affects my heart. I want to help them. And whenever I had to, praise the Lord, I don't have to do it anymore, but four times I had four different children that I personally had to carry into an operating room and lay them on the operating table. That is something I never liked. No parent likes that. And that's a moment when a parent wants to take the place of that child. Because you see what they're about to go through. You know it affects your heart. Our hearts can become desensitized by the needs of people because we're not really looking We're not really focused on ministering to people. Peter fastened his eyes upon this man. This man had been laid at the beautiful gate daily for years. No doubt, I'm sure this man had heard about Jesus. And we even have to ask the question, why didn't Jesus heal this man during his ministry? If he was laid daily at the gate, well, Jesus went to the temple several times. And we see one time Jesus goes into the temple and chases out the money changers and says, my house should be a house of prayer. I believe that Jesus left this man so, again, that the apostles' authority could be through the power that they'll use, the power of Jesus Christ, kind of establishes their authority that Jesus gave them to minister to people and to preach the gospel and to lead the church. But here this man, Jesus, or Peter, fasting his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. He was expecting to receive something of them. But they were, Peter, he saw a need, and he's going to meet the need the best way he can. I mean, again, I think I even quoted it this morning that Peter, he says, silver and gold have I none. I don't have. If I had silver and gold, I would give it to you. But what I do have is better than silver and gold, and that is Jesus Christ. Now, it doesn't mean we should overlook people's physical needs. I've had my needs met by various people, different, all kinds of people, family, friends, church members. I mean, just the different people, and I'm sure you have throughout the years, you've had needs met, all right? But we've always got to remember the number one thing that somebody needs is Jesus Christ, is Jesus Christ. I know of somebody right now that needs help, needs deliverance from some addictions. And what they need that will help them is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will break those chains. But as we see Peter here, Peter speaking in the name of Jesus Christ, speaking by the authority given to him by Jesus Christ, he says in verse 6, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Remember, we saw that this morning in Acts chapter 2 in Peter's sermon to the 3,000 that were gathered, 3,000 plus that was gathered. And Peter said in chapter 2 and verse 22, you men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth. So he wants to make sure, you know, that this man understands Jesus, whom he's preaching, whom he is talking about. Jesus of Nazareth, the one that you've heard about, maybe the one that you were even praying and hoping he would come by the beautiful gate and see you and have compassion upon you and touch you or just speak to you as he did multiple times to multiple people. Yet he says, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Reminding us, look, there's still power in that name. Get the name of Jesus has power. Jesus is still the answer. But I believe we're living in the age where many fall away, as the Bible talks about, the age where many fall away. The Laodicean church was lukewarm, as Jesus talked about in Revelation, and we ought to be hot, not lukewarm, but hot for the Lord. I mean, again, we're living in a day where many are in need of Jesus Christ. Many of those that were raised in churches are walking away from the truth. They're believing lies, but there's still power in the name of Jesus Christ. There's still power in the name of Christ. I would love to be able to go into a hospital and heal people. I mean, especially, I mean, again, I had kids that were in the hospital, and at the time we would see other kids, you know, in there with cancer and stuff. And I remember one time one of our children was, as a baby, had to spend 7 days in ICU after being born. And we would go in there. Sandra and I would go in there every day. We'd go and visit. Go in there and spend hours with him. And we would be in there and not see any parents coming to some of these other babies. And I remember my wife asking one of the nurses one time, do any of the parents come? And the nurse said, sadly, no. Some of them don't even come to visit these babies. Listen, Jesus cares. And that's one thing we got to remind ourselves, that, you know what? People need the Lord. And we're living in that day and age that we can truly impact those around us. Peter and John go up to the temple, and here is this man, and they have a choice. They have an opportunity to be able to meet his spiritual need, an opportunity to be able to see a change in his life, not by their own power, but by the power of Jesus Christ, because Peter's life and John's life has been changed. You remember Peter? Peter was just a fisherman. Peter was someone that was always stumbling over his words, saying things he ought not say and doing things he shouldn't have done. Yet Jesus worked on him and worked in his heart and changed him. And Peter, on the day of Pentecost, he's the one boldly proclaiming Jesus Christ. And here they are at the temple being used by God to be a blessing to somebody else. That's what I want us to be reminded of, being used by God to be a blessing to someone else because we were faithful to the house of God. You never know when there might be somebody. In fact, just even this morning, somebody was a blessing to somebody else. Seeing just a need, seeing some emotional tension on someone's face and just trying to be a blessing to them. It may not necessarily be meeting someone's financial need, just their emotional need. Someone needs to know that somebody cares. Because it's been said by a pastor that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And it's very true. We just live in a day and age where people just don't care. They don't care about people. And yet God's people should care. Peter and John cared enough to look on this man and to address him and to say, look on us, look at us. And then Peter, obviously speaking by the authority of Jesus Christ, speaks in the name of Jesus Christ. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You know what? Just as we started the study of Esther in Sunday school, and you know that verse that states that Mordecai, her cousin, relays to her that it just might be that you're here for such a time as this. It might be this is why God has you here. Because sometimes we wonder, what is my purpose? What does God want me to do? It might just be we are here for this time, that there are those that are in need. We can't assume that everybody that walks through the doors of the church are saved and know that Jesus is everything that they need. There are people that do come to church because they're seeking an answer. They're seeking help. I get those phone calls. I get those calls on the answering machine of people seeking help. And I'm sure you have people in your lifetime that have even asked you for help. When you think about Peter and John, they're just two disciples of Christ, two men that are children of God, ready to be used by God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 7. Bob says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. As Paul writes to the church at Corinth, he's telling them the power of the Holy Spirit. Back up, if you would, to verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 4. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. When you think about Peter saying to this man, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk, he takes him by the right hand in verse number 7, and he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Now, obviously, it wasn't Peter's power, but it was the power of the Holy Spirit moving and working through Peter. It was the power of God in Peter's life. Peter believed in the name of the Lord, and this man has to put his faith and trust in the same name that he knows. Again, many people know about Jesus. They've heard things, but they still need to know who he is personally. Think about this lame man. Peter says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. So he's got to put his faith in that name, put his faith on Jesus Christ. So we have to assume that he's heard about Jesus, he's heard about his healings, he knows he's been crucified. Everybody knows Jesus has been crucified in Jerusalem. And here this man, being spoken to by Peter, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes we wish we could see. Thomas said, I will not believe until I see. So Jesus shows up to Thomas in the room, and Thomas doesn't even do what he said. Remember, Thomas said, unless I see the print in his nails and put my fist in the side, I will not believe. Yet when Jesus showed up, Thomas didn't even do what he said. He bowed and said, my Lord, my King. And Jesus said, you know, you've seen, but blessed are those that have not seen. So think about this man. He simply has to believe on Jesus Christ and who he is. And obviously, Scripture says he obviously believed because Peter reaches down and takes him by the right hand, kind of signifying that put your trust in Jesus. I'm telling you something true. The man grabs him by the right hand, and he leaps. Look at verse 8. And he leaping up. So it's not that Peter even lifted him up, but he leapt up. He leaped up. Leaping up, he stood because he trusted the name of Jesus Christ. Do we still trust the name of Jesus Christ? Do we still cry out to Christ for help? There's still power in that name. But do we find ourselves doing more in our own strength and more in our own name? Some people put a lot of trust in a name, in an earthly name, in an earthly family. But yet there's one name that has all power. There's one name that brings comfort. There's one name that can change a life. There's one name that can answer prayers. And that's the name of Jesus Christ. May we as God's people never get to a place where we stop trusting Jesus Christ. Here was a man who had never walked a day in his life. As people, we can be selfish, because we don't have something we want, or something happened we didn't want happen. Here's a man that's never walked a day in his life. And yet two men were faithful to go to the temple at the hour of prayer because it was their routine, if I can use that word. It was their routine. They were doing it daily. They were leading the people in Acts chapter 2. From house to house, daily in the temple, ministering to those that had gotten saved and baptized. And here they're just doing what they normally do, going up to the temple at 3:00 in the afternoon. This man who's always laid there at the beautiful gate sees Peter and John, cries out for some alms, cries out for some money, for some help. And his life is drastically changed because two men were faithful to the house of God. They were faithful in being in the right place at the right time. And guess what? A man's life is drastically changed. God really does want to use each of us to minister to other people, to see their lives be changed. We can't save them. It wasn't Peter's own power that healed this man. Peter just said, in the name of Jesus Christ. All right? Peter was given, and the apostles were given the ability by God to be able to heal people. But again, it's Jesus Christ. As a father, I would love to be able to touch my children when they have fevers and to rebuke the fever like Jesus did with Peter's mother-in-law. Jesus goes into Peter's house. Mother-in-law is laid there. She has a fever, and Jesus just kind of rebuked the fever. And one gospel says Jesus touched her hand, and the fever left. There's probably not a parent that would love to do that. Would you know, just love to be able to, when a child is sick, rebuke the fever and make them better. But as adults, as we minister to people, let us keep the mindset that there's a reason for everywhere we go, that God wants to use us in a great way. God wants us to be used and to continue believing that Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer that every single person needs. When you look here at verse number 8 and following, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. So here's a man that he had something to praise God about. Peter and John have something to praise God about. This man's life has been changed by Jesus Christ. Verse 9, all the people saw him walking and praising God. They all knew who he was. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Look at Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Psalm 107, verse 8 and 9. We all have needs. We all have needs. But let's never let our need get in the way of somebody else's need. God will take care of our needs. Remember, Paul said, "My God shall supply all your need according to Jesus Christ, according to his riches." Peter and John at the right place at the right time. They're able to see a life changed. And this man was a great influence on others. In Psalm 107, look at verses 8 and 9. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Yes, this lame man in Acts chapter 3 could not work for himself up until this point, could not provide for himself. He relied on the compassion and mercy of others. He had done this for a long time, daily, for a very long time. But on this day, his greatest need was met, and that was his spiritual need. And here we find him leaping in verse number 8. He leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Praising God for a new life. Praising God for these men that were willing to come and to even have compassion upon him and to be able to show him the love of Christ by speaking to him in the name of Jesus Christ. There's nothing like a transformed life as a testimony. Never stop praising God. Never stop leaping. Think about this man. He'd never walked a day in his life. And yet on this day, he doesn't have to learn to walk. He stands up, has complete strength, starts walking, starts leaping. I mean, I can just envision this man on the ground and Peter speaking to him, Peter stretching out his hand. Maybe the man looking at his hand, thinking about what Peter just said. Thinking about all the miracles he's heard Jesus do. And grabs Peter by the hand and jumps up. Having full faith in that name. And as he stands there, not falling back down. Kind of walking around. And then that walking kind of turns into a leap and a jump. He starts jumping and he starts praising God. If we're not careful, we'll lose our praise. Remember what God's done for you. Remember what God does for you in your life. Life is not always easy, but God is worthy of praise. Oh, that men would praise the Lord, according to Psalm 107. Not a very long message tonight. I just want us to be reminded that there's something worth praising God about. There's something worth praising God about. You know what? Look at Revelation chapter 4. Look at Revelation chapter 4. Because again, in Psalm 107, it said, oh, that men would praise the Lord. In Revelation 4:11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. God's created us to worship him, to praise him for who he is. Let's not be so focused on what we don't have, but let's focus on what God has done for us. I mean, if I were to recount everything in my life that God's done, I wouldn't have another reason to complain about anything. It's like, God, you are so good that you just deserve me to praise you every day. But two men in the right place at the right time. Everywhere you go in life, there are people there that God will at times have you speak to. He'll have you to affect them in some way. And the greatest way to affect people is with our own testimony, the testimony of a life that's been changed. What do people hear us doing the most? Murmuring and complaining or praising God? Can work stink at times? Absolutely. But then I got to remind myself, God's good to allow me to have a job, to be able to provide for my family. Though it may not be the ideal hours, yet God's provided. Let's keep the right focus so we can continue praising God, because God is good and God deserves our praises, so that others will be affected by it. Again, there are people that are crippled spiritually, and only Jesus Christ can heal them spiritually, but God does want to use us, because if our life has been changed, then he wants others to see that, you know what? If God can help me, he can definitely help you.